Father, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for your wonderful promises, Lord. Thank you for being in the midst, Lord. Lord, because it's impossible that the scripture will be broken, and it is impossible that God should lie. And we are enjoying your presence in the testimony, in the singing. We see the glory of the Lord by faith. So we thank you tonight for inhabiting our place. Lord, we thank you. We worship you, Lord. Lord, again, I want to read your word tonight, Lord. Bless the reading of your word, Lord. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So we thank the Lord Jesus for bringing us together again. Brother, I thank you for the last week, kind of capping the church ages and so forth with the events of our own time. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, tonight, we just make it not too long. The certainty of the second coming of Christ. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The certainty of the second coming of Christ. Well, we know this. This generation, that is a matter of supreme importance in this age we are living in now to all men, you see. And that matter, that supreme matter is that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again.
Amen.
Whether or not they believe it, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, the same Lord Jesus who lived in Palestine about 2,000 years ago is coming back again. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And we know by so many infallible proofs that the Bible gave us, we know the time is at hand. So how do we know the certainty of these things? By the scriptures. In the Bible say that we know that the Lord Jesus Christ and so on, we know that he died, and the third day he rose again from the dead according to the scriptures. Amen. That's how we know all things according to the scripture. Praise God. And the revelation of the Holy Spirit and so forth. We can just quickly walk through the prophecies and so forth that talk about his first coming. So his first coming was the greatest event, right? When it came, the greatest event in the world at that time. And the second coming will be the greatest event since he left. Amen?
Amen.
Without any doubt. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Once in a while, I have to remind ourselves about these things, and so forth. So now we are going to remind ourselves about certain prophecy that was given about his first coming. We all know Isaiah 9:6. I don't have to go about that because of the people that are here. You are all versed in the scriptures. So, Isaiah 9:6, talk about his first coming. Anyway, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we know the same prophet also prophesied again that the Lord will come, be born as born by a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And also another prophet, Micah, even tell us exactly where the Lord will be born. Talking about the certainty of the second coming. If this prophet prophesied of the first coming and they were like that, we are very certain. This same prophet prophesied of the second coming again. He will come as the scripture has said. Praise the Lord. So Micah 5:2 says, but now telling us where exactly he will be born. See? But now Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. It's always the little things, amen. Praise the Lord. Bible says what is what meant it to be big and so on, not to be nothing and so on, thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been of old from everlasting. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
How wonderful are the scriptures, the word of God, And the Bible even said that they even predicted with absolute accuracy many aspects of the Lord's ministry. Could be a refresher course, Isaiah 61. Absolute accuracy about the ministry of the Lord. 61, Isaiah, the first two verses. And the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and also to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, and so for that, you know. So we know in Luke 4:17 and so on, where according to his manner, the Bible said, enter the temple, I will say his first public sermon and so on, and that, you know. And when he has opened the book, he found the place where it was written, this same scripture, praise the Lord. And he read it, you know. So we see all these things, but his first coming, the prophets wrote, some of them 700 years, 7 centuries, and 700 centuries, and 700 years before he came and so on, and they were exactly like that. And even the scripture even foretold the time of his death. And that can remind us also of the prophecies of Daniel in Daniel 9. I want to read that one also once in a while. We have to go over these things so they are fresh in our hearts. So talking to Daniel now, in Daniel 9:24, how the Bible even foretold of his death, the time of his death. In Daniel 9, we read, verse 24, 70 weeks. At the time upon thy people, meaning the Jews, and upon thy holy city, meaning Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, about 16, he said that will happen, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in an everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy. So this prophecy go all the way to the millennium, amen? And to anoint the Most Holy. The Most Holy is the millennial temple, praise the Lord. The prophet are clear through to the millennium. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Know ye therefore, understand, that for the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. So there was a dividing of time here. There are 70 weeks, you know, and the Holy Ghost divided into three sections and so forth. So that is the first part of 7 weeks. And then there are 3 score and 2 weeks. And the streets there shall be beat again, and the war in troublous times. We know that first, you know, that first 7 weeks were 49 years, and Israel bear it out. That is what the time it took to restore Jerusalem and so forth in those days. Exactly that part, 49 years. We all know that one. We go through that many, many times and so forth. And then, the next verse says, after 3 score and 2 weeks, so the first part is gone, 7 weeks and so forth. Then take second segment now. Then after 3 score and 2 weeks, 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. So altogether, count the 7 plus the 62, but making 69. See, 69 times 7 is 483. So from 445 BC, the edict of Cyrus, praise the Lord, unto the, I think it says April 2nd, 33 AD, on Palm Sunday, when the Lord entered Jerusalem and so forth, from 445 BC to that time is exactly 483 years, using prophetic calendar, 30 days to a month, praise the Lord. Amen. So that all happened in history and so forth. So right there, in that verse, the prophet pinpoint the time of his death. Bible say that, and after 3 score and 2 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And until the end of the war, desolations are determined. We all know what happened in 70 AD and so forth, that, you know. So it all happened. We are seeing the certainty of his second coming. So this prophet is prophesied with absolute accuracy the first coming of the Lord. And we know there are 3 comings of the Lord, and the first one they already did. The second coming of the Lord is the rapture of the first fruit. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we know that's what we are looking for, and that's what Paul was praying about. Mm-hmm. That Bible said that you know, that it may be in the after resurrection, amen. The first fruit resurrection. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. as he was praying like that and so forth. So anyway, so all these things came to pass, just as the scripture said. We are just affirming in our spirit and soul that this second coming is an absolute truth. And the Lord is coming, and it's coming soon, soon. So this same prophecy that foretold that the Lord will be coming the first time to give his life a ransom for us, also declare that he will come again, this time not to be revealed in glory and to take back his bride. Amen. Amen. First time he came is to redeem us. Second time is to take his bride. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that's the hope, the blessed hope. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. We cannot stop talking about blessed, what we are living for. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So since these prophets were right the first time in their prediction of prophecy, we may be sure, certainty, that they are also right in the second time when they say we're coming again. Praise the Lord. The certainty of the coming of the Lord. So we see, so all this Bible for those things. And I will not begin to wonder, you know, why did the Lord go away? And the Bible does not leave us without reason why the Lord went away. The disciples themselves, when the Lord was saying what talk of his going away, they were so sorrowful. And the Bible had to explain to them why he was going. John 16. So let's see what it is. You know, verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me. Praise God. Praise God. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Did not explain to them some of the reasons why, you know, he had to go. One, he will go to prepare a place for us. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you can see why he went away in John 14, about the second and third verses. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again without fail. Amen. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that wonderful? Amen.
Amen.
The blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So now, number two, God's Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that since Holy God that the Lord Jesus Christ received and so forth, was to be bestowed upon the believers. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When I think of that scripture, I see the Bible say, "He, the Spirit of Him that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, dwelleth in you." Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. The same Holy Ghost and so forth was in Christ and so forth. He has poured Him forth upon us. So, and we see that in John 16. So He told us in verse 7, reason why He went away. Another reason why He went away. Nevertheless, John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for me or for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Amen.
Amen.
And we are all witnesses tonight. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So if the promise was true, we know that it's coming soon. Certainty for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we all know the reasons why the Lord want his disciples or his people to receive the Holy Spirit. We know the reason why. We know the Lord has a momentous work for the church to do over the years and so forth. And that is to bring the Lord Jesus Christ to the nations. Amen.
Amen.
And even to the uttermost part of the earth. And no human effort can accomplish it. Amen.
Amen.
No human effort can do. That's why in Mark 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a mighty work he left for us to do, and we thank God in all the ages this has been going on. So to accomplish this task, the church will need to be especially empowered. Amen. And equipped. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that's why, you know, you have to receive the Holy Ghost and so forth. Make us to live that holy life of Christ. How in reverse. Many people seeking the Holy Ghost, they want to be holy first. You can't be holy without the Holy Ghost, amen?
Amen.
Come as you are, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And believing and trusting the Lord. Then, so, and the devil has used that to to deceive many people and so on, and hinder them from receiving the Holy Spirit and so forth, you know. Now, so we know that the Lord, when he was here, you know, when he came in the flesh, he could only be in one place at one time. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But when he shared for the Holy Spirit upon the disciples all over the world, it's everywhere now. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See the reason for the Holy Ghost. Where upon all the even the disciples, they are upon all this thing the Lord told them, they did not catch initially this vision of the world evangelism. Amen.
Amen.
They didn't catch the vision originally. Their mind was about the kingdom. Where will he bring the kingdom? Amen. He has told them all this. They wanted to receive the Holy Ghost, but they have a different mindset. They didn't get the vision of the world missionary and so on. Let's see that in the book of, I believe, in the book of Acts. So you can see that upon all the Lord told them, you have to tell them over and over again. Acts 1, verse 6. See? They didn't get the vision of the world, the vision of the world mission initially, you know. So, but later they call it Acts 1, 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And here the Lord answer. You guys only get it. You didn't get the vision. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The kingdom can't come until the people that are, until people now receive Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So let's see what the Lord told them in verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put his own power. But ye shall, they now emphasize, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. For what? The world vision, amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
The world vision. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
He had to restate the vision, the world vision, and had to restate it to them, the reason why and so on, that you know. So, and as the Lord ascended to heaven, an angel began to declare that he will of truth return again in the next verse, verse 9. And where they had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in the manner as he has seen him go into heaven. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Of a surety, of a certainty, come again. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Nothing doubting. So, and so, you know, so, well, the disciples think that when the Lord was going, he will come very soon, right? They think he will come so soon, maybe like 1 year or even 6 months after he went. They were thinking that way. They still didn't get the word of vision, missionary that he told them, amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And in Matthew 28 now, that have to tell them again, see, about this word vision and so on. 28 of Matthew, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, see. Know what to do? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So the gospel was to begin from Jerusalem, as the Lord said, and to all Judea and Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the world vision, missionary, you know, coming, you know, preaching the gospel to the world and so forth. And before the Lord could even return, and the Lord told us in Matthew 24, verse 14, and the Lord said it again, you know, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And then shall the end come. The Lord keep repeating the same thing, that word vision and so forth, and evangelism. So the reason for this was that why all nations? So simple. See, the reason was that the Lord spoke of himself as the bridegroom. See, and he will return to take back to heaven his chosen people at the end of time, you know, a company of true believers, that love him. And that's why the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 11, right now the church, the true elect, we have been espoused to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
We are waiting for the bridegroom. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord Jesus. So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11, the true believer, the elect of God and so forth. 2 Corinthians 11, 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We know that talking about the church there, you know, the Bible always do that to represent, you know, the church, the woman, and so on. And we all know the parable that the Lord gave in Matthew 25, without really going to do that and so forth. So how the foolish and the wise virgins and so forth, talking about, you know, the tribulation saints and so on, who are going to be left behind, and then the wise, the first which rapture, is all depicted in that Matthew 25, the first 13 verses. And so also we know in Revelation 19, a picture of the union of Christ, the bridegroom with the bride, is also depicted in Revelation 19, talking about the certainty of the coming of the Lord, right? Revelation 19, 7, 8, and 9, which I'm going to read. Let all be glad and rejoice. I always wonder, why did I always say that? You know, even in the epistles and so on, that you know, and the Bible, the Lord, even in his teachings, when you see all these things, lift up your head, amen.
Amen.
Rejoice, because of edition dread night. For by the Holy Ghost writing and so on, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, amen. So now the Holy Ghost now saying the same thing. Why? Because the Bible knows that the Lord foreknew that the Lord will cause his people all kind of heartaches if he can at the end of the age, you know. They'll be confronted. Praise the Lord. So the Lord is telling you that don't let all the discouragement bring you down. They need to charge us to rejoice and to be glad, you know. So no matter what, verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true saints of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so Christ, therefore, we say now the bridegroom is waiting for his bride to be completed. Amen. And the call today is, and the call of the hour is, we are living this in Revelation 22 now, you know, verse 17. The call of the hour, see, the call of the hour is 22, Revelation 17. And the Spirit and the bride says, come. The invitation and so forth. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is attached come. And whosoever will, let him come. Let him take the water of life freely. Amen.
Amen.
That's our message to the world right now, as we await the certain coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all these years and centuries and so forth, the mighty work has been going on. See, before that happy event, the Lord has, as we have read in the Bible, this mighty work of world vision and missionary, you know, has to be completed, and it's going on all these years and centuries and so forth. Now we see that because the Lord is no respecter of persons, there are going to be the first fruit rapture, and the Lord has people all over the world. Amen?
Amen.
In fact, the people of God will be made up of people from every nation under the earth. Amen?
Amen.
That's why in Matthew 24 verse 14, why he said that so this gospel of the kingdom shall be, you know, preached in all the world as a witness to the nations. Amen.
Amen.
They will not all receive it, but as an elect or a people of God in every nation. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, let's see it in the Bible. If the Bible says so, Revelation 7. So let's see if God has people in every nation in the world. Yes, it does. Bible says so. Revelation 7. I want to read from verse 9. See? Now. So after this, in the time of the great tribulation, amen.
Amen.
And the Jews have been seen, 144,000 of them, amen. The rapture has taken place. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See, God had different people, right? Like the 10 virgins, right? Five went in and five were left. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's all depicted in the Bible right there. So the people didn't go in, that see God's people right there. They are virgins, right? Praise the Lord. So the same thing here. So the rapture has taken place. The time of Jacob's trouble has been on. And the 144,000 of the Jews were sealed. And also like that. So after this, after all these things, I beheld, talking about God people, God have people all over the world, right? And all the nations. After this, I beheld and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. Of what? Of all nations. Amen?
Amen.
Can you see why they go out to go to all nations now? Praise the Lord. Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Verse 10 says, and cry with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which seated upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Praise the Lord. See, the bride is in the special position with the bridegroom at that time. Praise God. And verse 13. And one of the, so just to be sure, who are they? See? Yeah, yeah, that God's people. Watch and see. Verse 13 says, and one of the elders answered, say unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? See, they come from every nation, right? White robes. And whence came they? Where did they come from? Verse 14. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, amen, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, amen,
amen.
They come from every nation. Praise the Lord. He asked people, most of them will go through the great tribulation and so on, but they will come through anyway. So that's why they have to go to all the nations and so on. The Bible was telling us that what we have read. So we go forward, and so many Bible passages, of course, indicate that that they are unprecedented turning to Christ at the end of the age. Amen. And many Bible passages say so. We're going to read about two of them. That will be a great turning to Christ as the age closes and so forth. It has been happening over the century, but it's going to be a great turning to Christ, unprecedented, you know, as the age ends, in this age ending. I'm sorry?
I said it's happening.
It's happening. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the coming of the Lord, dread now, amen.
Exactly.
Yeah, so see, in summary, I read some scriptures here. In summary, there will be the brother revival,
mm-hmm.
amen. Quick and short. A quick and a short work will the Lord God do upon the heart, amen.
Mm-hmm.
About the bride, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The brother revival, yes, coming. A quick, short, and powerful. Then we pour over to the Jews, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's begin with the Jews first. And in Ezekiel, I won't read it. 36 to 37 of Ezekiel, test of the mighty outpouring of the Spirit upon Israel. Amen?
Amen.
So we all know that scripture. You can read it if you're not familiar. I think we are all familiar with that scripture. So that is a great outpouring. And even in Isaiah 66, confirm and speak of the result of that visitation that Ezekiel prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when the prophet declared in astonishment in 66 of Isaiah, verse 8, he cried out and said, who have had such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the heart be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion triumphed, she brought forth her children. Amen.
Amen.
Israel in general will be saved as a nation. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Here and there, they get saved here and there and so on. But as a nation, that's how the Lord deals with them. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
For you and me, he took a people for his name's sake. Amen. Acts 15:14, praise the Lord. For the Gentiles to take a people and so on. But for Israel, they always have it as a nation, they have it as a nation. So we see that. So this mighty outpouring of the Spirit, however, not only to the Jews, but Israel alone, because even their own prophet, Joel, amen,
amen.
Tell us not to follow to the Jews. Let's read him here. Let's read now. Said that the Spirit was to be poured upon all flesh. See? So let's see what one of their prophets said. And then Joel 2. 28 and 29 verse. See, we are nearing the coming of the Lord. I'm sure can be tonight. I don't know. Just keep on washing and praying. Doesn't matter when how it comes. Just to be found washing and praying. Joel 2, 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit. That's why we pray for the Bible all the time. I come to that now. And it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. See, the New Testament now made it clear. When is afterward? When is that afterward? When is that those they just spoke about? The New Testament now makes it clear to us, amen? That it means in the last days, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Acts 2. Let's get it there. Acts 2. So, 17, 18, and 19, and 20. So, that afterward I just spoke about. And in those days that he spoke about, now the Holy Ghost has put greater revelation the day of Pentecost and so forth. Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, see, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men, the same prophecy, and now make it clear to us when afterward mean. When those days meant, in the last days, our young men shall see visions. And your old men shall do dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Well, this speaks of a revival and judgment. Amen. Praise the Lord. As I'm going to say now before we finish another 5 minutes. Okay, well, we'll finish it soon. See? So, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And watch again, it now say it again. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The same thing we are told in Romans 10, the same thing. What a thing. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See? So now, you know, no, so this indicates, all this is telling that there's a great harvest of the earth. No, waiting in the last days and so forth. So this great harvest now is waiting for the early and the later rain, which represent the outpouring of the Holy Spirit too. And that's why the Holy Ghost wrote in James 5:7 about this outpouring and so on. James 5:7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he received the early and later rain. Even Zechariah the prophet, you know, begin to tell us and implore us, when you know that time is coming, we are in the last days, right? When God promised, we are in the last days, right? Then Zechariah 10 begin to tell us, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the later rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Surely the time for this is to come is now upon us. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You know that that dream that man saw, you say we have had, he said we have had some revival and so on, and so we praise God for it, amen. Coming showers, amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Of blessing. We have had revival, yes. You know, and but the rapturing revival and so forth, the outpouring and so on shall shine all of those things. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So what hour is it then, brethren? The prophet Hosea told us in Hosea 10, the 12th verse, the hour we are living in now. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Amen?
Amen.
Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
It will come and rain righteousness upon you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is how we are living. Even David prophesied in Psalm 126:5-6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Amen.
Amen.
He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in his sheaves with him. Amen.
Amen.
That is the hour we are living for, the true elect of God. We should be burdened. That same vision of the world and so forth as we near is coming. You know, the Lord keep on repeating it to the disciples. If you didn't get it, keep on repeating it. Why are you? They are looking for the deliverance for the Roman bondage, right? Greater things are here, disciples and so on. Praise God. I must be saying, I come to save the world. Praise God. See? So anyway, so Christ the bridegroom is waiting now for his bride to be complete. See? The question is, every one of the people in this world, I mean, will they give themselves to the Lord and so forth? And all like this, we thank God for he has chosen us, he has called us, he has made us to answer the call. And we are trusting in his grace to get us through and so forth, and to be ready for his coming. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to read again that 22nd chapter of Revelation 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is attached, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now also, you know, don't forget that the Lord said that we are, look at the time we are living in now, look at the events. How many earthquakes? The greatest evacuation ever in the U.S. history, amen?
Amen.
Took place in the, that's what they call hammer, they call it demon hammer, you want to call this and so forth. Praise the Lord. They call all these things and so on. The Lord permitted them to do these things and so on. After all that was come upon the sea, the Lord rebuke it. You don't rebuke the thing that has no life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Call it hurricane or whatever. Praise the Lord. I would say rebuke it and so on. Peace be still. And that was a great calm. That we say, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the sea obey him. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. See, when the law, the iniquity is fully and so on, the Lord has permitted all this thing to happen. And so on. So we see in Matthew 24:22. And we are living in those days now. Except those days should be shortened. There should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Amen.
Amen.
If we knew before the fall, he called the end from the beginning. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's why the elect should not fret. These things must need be. Praise the Lord. And at the end, not that by and by and so on. So, again, I always say it here that why would the Lord say that there is so much event? No, that you are seeing today and so on. And I already mentioned this, I want to say it again tonight, that people have wondered what will have happened, what will happen that will happen to the world and so on. And let's see what happened. So, and they're finishing up here. You know, a Jew helped to end the war, to end World War One, right? I think it's when it was that Jewish man that helped the British people, you know, to invent gunpowder and so on, when Germany seemed to be winning and so on. And that's why our brother speaking last week of 1917, the Balfour Declaration, was in honor of that Jewish chemist, amen,
amen,
that helped them. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, when the Germany was winning the war almost and so far, they ran out of ammunition, they employed this professor of chemistry and so on. And that's how he helped them. They now ask him, what shall we give to you and so forth to honor you for helping us with this thing? Say, I don't need anything. My heart is for Palestine. The Jews need a home in Palestine. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the Balfour Declaration came about, you know, in honor of that, you know, man and son. So, do you know that Second World War ended by the help of another Jew by the name of Albert Einstein? Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me talk about him as we finish here. So, I put a note here. The physicist, Albert Einstein, he himself did not get involved in the making of the atomic bomb. But he helped, you know, and he was instrumental to making the atomic bomb. Amen?
Amen.
So let me give you a brief quickly as we finish here. What happened? In 1905, he published what he called the special theory of relativity. And he made this intriguing point that a large amount of energy could be released from a small amount of matter. Amen?
Amen.
And he put out an equation. And he said E equals mc squared. Where E is energy, and M is mass, and C is the speed of light. Praise the Lord. That's a tremendous amount of energy, 1905, when he put his theory out and published it. Praise the Lord. See? So, so we see that one. So, the atomic bomb was built upon that principle. Do you even know that Germany was even close to making the atomic bomb before the U.S. make it? They were very close. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In fact, the group that it's a secret mission that the U.S. was doing here, they didn't even call eyesight to it. Though the base is their thing upon its findings, right?
Yeah.
Because he won't close his mouth. He can't keep a secret. He can't keep a secret, amen. So there is people involved in and so on. Anyway, nobody left. So what happened from that thing that he published? What happened in August 6, 1945? Now in history, any Second World War, you know, based upon what you know, the atomic bomb was detonated. So in August 6, 1945, a uranium-based weapon, they call it Little Boy, amen, was detonated above the Japanese city of Hiroshima. And 3 days later, a plutonium-based weapon, they call it the Fat Man, was detonated above the Japanese city of Nagasaki. See? The atomic raids killed at least 100,000 Japanese civilians and military personnel outright with the heat, radiation, and blast effects. Now, that's just the beginning. Many tens of thousands would later die of radiation sickness and related cancer. Tens of thousands. When the Lord said, "Excel, the Lord shall take the time, amen." No, they shall be saved. They were wondering, how can that be now? In 1945, they now know yes. There are things by their own invention, amen. By their own invention, praise the Lord. So, tens of thousands die and so on, no? After the effect and so forth. Let me tell you something. Here is what Truman said to the Japanese at that time. Truman was the president at that time. And he said, I quote, "Truman promised a reign of ruin." Now that is his words now. "A reign of ruin if Japan did not surrender immediately, threatening to systematically eliminate their ability to wage war." So that was that time. Then on August 15, Emperor Hirohito is his name, announced Japanese surrender. Praise God. Now, his name begins with TRU, Truman, right?
Yes.
Now we have a president beginning with TRU, right? What did he say to North Korea? I quote. He said, and Trump threatened to rain fire and fury like the world has never seen on North Korea. Yes. Almost like that President Truman said. He said, a reign of ruin. Mm-hmm. Now, you know this man, another TRU man, and so on. He said, a fire and fury like the world has never seen before, and so on, North Korea. Now, don't forget also that. Now, I say this thing in joy and, you know, it's like revival and judgment and so on that, you know, happening at the same time. Remember that after that instant publication of that theory of relativity in 1905, the next year, as soon as the revival broke out, amen, in 1906, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Revival and judgment. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
See? So, right there, you know, and so on. Like I brought up, pointed out and so forth, bless your heart. And of course, 1906 was when the Laodicea church age was ushered in, amen.
Amen.
We are at the end of the age, see? So, and so let me read here, and let me finish this Azusa revival. Now, was an historic revival meeting that took place in Los Angeles, California, and is the origin of the Pentecostal movement. It was led by William Seymour, which we all know, he was a waiter in a restaurant in Texas. I know the story, he was just a waiter, you know, in Texas and so forth. William J. Seymour, an African American preacher. He began with a meeting on April 9, 1906, and continued until about 1915. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I read a little bit about him many, many years ago and so on. Now, what happened, why he got involved was this. There was one man, a preacher and so forth, who was preaching in Texas, and he always had Bible study. So, and in the Bible study, they came to the book of Acts too. At that time, there was nothing like the Holy Ghost and so on. That, you know, the people not receive the Holy Ghost. They come to Acts 2. They now read Acts 2. Then, you know, and they saw that then he took some time off. He told the group to continue to pray and take a travel out of Texas, out of Kansas City. You know, and they say, when I come back, we'll talk about this. So they got stuck in Acts 2. Then they now see that, hey, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is for today, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's how they were seeking the Lord and they were filled with the Holy Ghost in Kansas City. And when the news came to Texas, I think the brother went to Texas, and this waiter brother now had the news. They said, look, I must also receive this Holy Ghost. Amen. Then he left his waiting job and went to California. He went to seek the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So tonight, what I want us to be doing from now, carrying all this world vision, as you see the coming of the Lord right now, that our Wednesday, first Wednesday of the month, let us turn into a pray for revival and pray for the what evangelism. Amen.
Amen.
So it is solely for praying and calling upon the Lord for revival. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Not so much preaching, maybe brother, you believe that service and so on. That went first Wednesday of the month. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Solely for missionary work, praying, and so how the Lord will lead us going forward and so on. Let us be body for soul. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So the first that Wednesday of the of the month, we're doing that and so on. And when we finish, we break bread. Not more preaching, not in fact, we just want to pray. It has great for time with us, amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The early church, I begin to pray, Lord, as we add to the church daily, as many as should be saved, amen.
Yeah.
I think they pray that for a long time. They do the same thing and the body, for souls, as we wait for the coming of the Lord.
Well, how we are living in now, it suffices that that the first will be the last, and the last will be the first. Because truly, the rate that people are living their lives of Christ, even in the U.S. now, by the grace of God, that it's like the people that is happening has put fear. People are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
They are afraid, but they don't know what to do.
Yes.
They don't know where to go.
Yes.
So truly, salvation is people are really giving their life to Christ.
Yes.
And I really thank God that it is time to